Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics. In this weekly show, the Husker Online team will give you the latest insight on Husker football, basketball, baseball, and of course, recruiting. Now, here's your host, Husker Online publisher, Sean Callahan.
Hello, and welcome here to another edition of the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipp, Robin Washit. It is spring game week, gentlemen, as... we're gonna get football at Memorial Stadium. We're gonna get about 80 degrees.
Are we getting
we might 80? Get Steve Sipple in what he likes to call short pants.
You might. Hey, wait a second. It's gonna be 80
close
degrees.
Close to 80, yeah.
Really? No rain.
No rain.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
So
beautiful.
At least as of show tape, you know how that stuff goes this time of year. But should have a beautiful Saturday, 11 a.m. kickoff for the red white spring game. And let's get right into opening headlines here, because I think when you look at Nebraska last week, they took a big step forward in their scrimmage, and it started with the play at the quarterback. And I think Matt Rhule has done his best to kind of downplay and temper things. But we have seen enough, heard enough, talked to enough people. Dylan Raiola was at another level in the scrimmage, connected on a 70, 80-yard touchdown pass to Jalen Lloyd on a scramble, on a rope, into coverage, dropped the ball in a bucket down the field. Finds Isaiah Nayor on a broken play, shovel pass on 4th and 5 that goes for a touchdown. He was the quarterback that was backed up on the 1 yard line.
He was.
And went 99 yards.
God, why was that such a hard thing to discern?
I don't know. I mean, they're doing their best Babe in the Woods on this, Steve Sipple.
They might have been.
As you would.
There might have been some Babe in the Woods here.
It seems like something that you would remember. As a coach, the guy leads a 99-yard touchdown drive in one of your biggest scrimmages of the spring. But who knows? Yeah. Maybe he was an honest. He just legitimately forgot.
But we've confirmed it through our own channels that it was Raiola. So he had a huge scrimmage. The offense, the top two units, did not turn it over. That's another notable thing. So
oh, God, yes.
We'll get to see this all live for the very first time in Memorial Stadium this spring.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to pour cold water on all this. I mean, I'm not going to, but you got to mention that, that these guys were in green jerseys. The quarterbacks are in green jerseys. No hands-off green jerseys, so plays get extended. But, yeah, it is – we didn't see it. So a lot of this is fueled by our imagination. But it does feel like Dylan did take a pretty big step. It does feel like he would be the guy right now. And it seems like Heinrich Harburg, 5-3 last year as a starter, would be maybe the number two guy. I think they all have played pretty – all three scholarship quarterbacks have – it seems like they've played pretty well this spring. Again, we're just operating basically on what we hear. But, yeah, I mean, 80-yard pass is an 80-yard pass. That Mahomes-like shovel pass was an eye-popper from what people tell me. Like, whoa. It was a whoa play. 4th and 5, touchdown. So, yeah, good picture.
It seems like a day we've been waiting on for Raiola. Like, everybody's kind of wanting that picture to come together for him to assert himself as that clear number one, and still plenty of work to do. But a day like that goes a long way in kind of reaffirming all these hopes people had in him and what he could be and what this offense could be with a player of that caliber running the show. That's just the start. You know, like you said, he's not getting hit. Things change when the bullets are for real, but for what he's been thrown, what has been thrown at him so far, you got to like what you're hearing.
You just wonder if you're Matt Rhule, if it's so obvious on Saturday to everyone, how do you go about the next step, which is naming a starter? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you sandbag this all the way into August, or when we're sitting in Indianapolis after a night's meal at El Toro Mexican Restaurant, do we know that Dylan Raiola is the starter as camp opens?
Well, here's the deal. Matt Rhule has it. He's addressed that. He has said he likes it, a competition where one guy jumps out in front and then another guy kind of kind of tries to catch up and mm-hmm. maybe does catch up. And then the competition just keeps going. And he wants to see how they respond when things don't go well, when they're pressed. And that is huge. I mean, it is huge because it's not – there's going to be times – there's going to be times in the fall, in the autumn, when it's a freak show. Mm-hmm. When it feels – and I've said it on our shows before, but it's always struck me, that position, it can feel literally like the world is collapsing around you on Saturday. And how do they respond? Mm-hmm. So if I were a coach, I would make it damn difficult every day, very difficult, because that's what you're going to be dealing with.
Well, and how do you simulate adversity when you're not getting it on the field, you know, at least to the level of a real football game, when you're not getting hit, knocked around, and, you know, beat up? You got to find ways to put guys in tough situations. I think creating, even if it's an illusion of competition, that you're not saying, you're our starter, you're the guy, take the rest of the summer off. You know, you're fine. Competition's over.
I'm not comfortable with that.
No. And so I think that even if, like, everybody knows what the deal is, you don't come out and say it. Like, why announce that? What good does that do anybody? I think you create that competition to where if a guy has a bad day mm-hmm. and somebody else has a good day, it's going to be in the back of his mind. That's at least some way you can create adversity and force them to have to respond better the next day.
I agree with you. I would play devil's advocate. I mean, there's probably advantages to naming a guy. You just start. Then maybe you start maybe gearing your mindset a little more towards UTEP, you know.
But can you do that without saying, Raiola's our quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's our guy.
There's really no reason to do it. You risk the transfer portal.
Yeah, that's another part.
Like, I mean, go back to Adrian Martinez as a true freshman.
Yeah.
And we were led to believe it was a pretty neck-and-neck battle at that time with Tristan Jebbia.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, instead of pulling the Jim Harbaugh – how he played two quarterbacks, two games each to start the year because they knew they could get away with it to keep them all on the roster for that one season. Frost went all in on Martinez.
Sunday morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a Sunday
morning. And they named him the starter.
Yep.
And it's Akron week. And you just thought, okay. And then all of a sudden, Jebbia goes in the portal.
That day.
And
or maybe the next
I remember
day.
At the press conference on Monday.
Was there a portal then?
The portal didn't officially start until October 15th of 2018.
But he's transferred.
And
I mean,
he transferred, but the actual portal didn't actually form until Greg Bell went in. Greg Bell was one of the first players in college football to go in the transfer portal.
Really?
That was a freak show, by the way. Robin and I are sitting in Lincoln Airport getting ready to go to Madison.
Oh, yeah. We were on the plane.
And Greg Bell, like, just leaves the team.
That's right.
Before the team leaves for Madison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, no, that's a good reason maybe not to announce anything. I just want to be clear. I agree with not naming a starter. I could see doing it at the end of spring. It wouldn't. I just don't know why you would.
Yeah, you can do all the things you need to do to prepare with the structure of quarterbacks you have in place, while also not making it this formal announcement mm-hmm. to where you know, the public is saying, all right, he's our starter, and then everybody else is like, well, what do I do now? Mm-hmm. You know, in that room. I think at least if you just keep it open, mm-hmm. even if internally everybody knows what the deal is, there's still value in
it. Make him fight for
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And then he can get better.
When he has bad days, he knows that he hasn't been crowned anything.
Right.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the reps, how the teams are kind of broken apart, and how mm-hmm. the game's played. We know the quarterbacks won't be live. This won't be like past spring games. But kind of how they divvy up things and what they show. We know it's going to be vanilla.
Would you make them live at all?
I don't think so.
What about Harbaugh?
You wouldn't?
Again, I don't think so. I just, from what we've seen and heard this year, they've not done it all year. Why would you do it in the spring game at that point?
Yeah.
Especially with the numbers. You only got three scholarship guys.
Just raising the question.
It's more, I mean, the spring game is the 15th practice. But let's be honest what it is. It's more of a celebration of what it means to be a Nebraska fan. 60,000 plus people possibly getting together on a great Saturday in Memorial Stadium, showcasing things a little bit here and there. But I don't expect them to say, we're going to go live. Now, a year ago, they did go live.
They did. Mm-hmm. That's the thing.
But they had six scholarship quarterbacks.
Right.
And Casey and Logan were unavailable in the spring.
Right. They did go live, and they fumbled it a bunch of times.
They did.
You don't want to see that. I think they fumbled it 8 times last year. And we all kind of were like, including me, we're like, it's just a scrimmage, no big deal.
Turns out.
Yeah, you don't want to see that. You do not want to see that again.
All right. When we come back, I want to talk. There's some transfer headlines out there. Nebraska looking at possibly bringing in a transfer, but some notable transfers around the Big Ten and on Nebraska's upcoming schedule this season. I'm going to hit on all that next. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
Hi, it's Sean Callahan with Husker Online. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right. A company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones and see what we find. Learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
You're listening to the Husker Online Show, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washington, getting you ready for Saturday's red-white spring game, 11 a.m. kick. As Nebraska will end spring practice. But before we get into some more discussion here, this segment of the Husker Online Show is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. And nothing says summer like the taste of juicy, tender burgers grilled to perfection, and nobody does it better than Omaha Steaks. Right now, you can taste burger perfection for yourself with the Burger Perfection Flight. This exclusive package includes 20 of their mouth-watering steak burgers, 4 of their pure ground filet mignon burgers, New York strip burgers, ribeye burgers, brisket burgers, and sirloin burgers. You'll get all of this deliciousness for just $79.99. That's 20 beef juicy steak burgers for just $79.99. So just go to omahasteaks.com and order today. These are the kinds of burgers that can only come from Omaha Steaks. From the mild and tender filet mignon burger to the rich and buttery ribeye burger. Every bite is backed by their 100% unconditional guarantee. Go to omahasteaks.com and shop for the perfect Burger Perfection Flight today. That's omahasteaks.com and order the Burger Perfection Flight for $79.99. And you're going to want to go hurry. I'm getting hungry here. Supplies are limited.
Yeah, you can't concentrate. Well, look at those burgers.
So,
yeah. You want to finish it off?
20 there? Burgers from Omaha Steaks, $80. Filet mignon burgers, ribeye. I'd go with the ribeye burger. Just going to be.
Did they say something about a buttery ribeye burger?
Yes.
Good Hello. God. That I can't concentrate right now.
A filet burger.
Yeah.
Hello.
20. I mean, do the math there. 20 for 80? 20 for $80, that's pretty good.
Yeah, they're quality burgers. So
yeah.
OmahaSteaks.com. All right, let's get into the discussion because the transfer portal is open.
Tell when?
May 1st.
Okay.
So 2 weeks, essentially, it's open. And Nebraska, as we know, has had no action to point. Now, will there be action after the spring game? That's what we don't really know. Will there be any kind of late night action, maybe Friday, going into the spring game? If a guy that knows they're going to leave,
that'd be a curious time to do it, wouldn't it? Friday night of the spring game,
or Thursday, you know, just tell the coach. But yeah, it's been bizarre that there's been. But I think in college football in general, the portal stuff has been pretty slow. Now Nebraska, though, this week, guys, on Tuesday, hosted a portal visitor, Vince Genitone. From North Platte, the 2022 Omaha World Herald Athlete of the Year, 2-time state champion wrestler, 10-5-0 in the 100, and a super state football player, played 2 seasons at Montana, has 3 years of eligibility remaining. Nebraska hosted him on an unofficial, and they do want him. This is a guy they can, you know, they want to make something work with, is my read right now, and I think that one looks good for Nebraska with Genitone.
10-5-0 in the 100 is flying.
As a 220-pound guy.
Yeah, I mean, they just recruited a receiver in Jackson Carpenter and ran 10-6-8. Genitone goes 10-5-0?
Yeah, and a 38.5-inch vertical and a 127-inch broad jump.
Serious. Serious athlete.
There you go. Look there's his vertical.
You've been on this guy for a while now, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, Scott Frost's staff should have offered him, but they were at a different position at that point, and everybody recruiting him thought they were going to offer him. And so people kind of backed off in the other schools because, you know, he tested so well. Like, what else did you need to see from this guy? He might have been 1 inch too short. That would have been the one knock. But as we've learned with this head coach at Nebraska right now, he's not caught up in inches like that. He's caught up in results.
They can you can really overthink this stuff as a coach.
Like, can you, if a guy's 6 foot versus 6'1", are you going to like let that be a deal breaker if he's got so. Like Genitone's broad jump and vertical right now would have been second at the NFL Combine for all linebackers.
Okay, doesn't just see. I mean, just it just feels like there was some overthinking at this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
And he's got pedigree. His father was a captain for a Rose Bowl team at Washington State.
Yeah. Now, I got to say something. It's easy for Sipple to get on a microphone in hindsight and say you should have took him. So I'll try to knock that off.
Well, and maybe the issue was he was just too much of a tweener at the point. Like, he didn't have a true position. But with this staff, that means nothing at all. You get him on campus. You see what he can do on the field. And then you develop him at a spot. I mean, that's been a track record now for the last two off seasons that we've seen the staff really thrive at. This guy's exactly like what Vince Genitone does. You get a great athlete that has skill sets that can't be taught, and then you find a way to utilize
him. A la Jalen Lloyd.
No doubt.
A la Jeremiah Charles.
Perfect.
John Bullock.
Yeah, perfect. I mean, look at Bullock.
No, that's Genitone right there.
No. I just meant look at Bullock.
As an example.
Yeah, I just meant look at Bullock as an example. I mean, he was a safety and then learned how to play linebacker, and now is playing linebacker at a super high level. That's what I meant.
But he kind of, I mean, he could easily, if he comes here, be a guy that kind of steps into that John Bullock role. Mm-hmm.
Inside backer.
You know, or he could, I mean, there's even some discussion, get him up to about 230 and he could be a fullback. How about a fullback that runs 10-5?
How much are they using the fullback, though?
Well,
I mean, is it really a fullback anymore?
If you have an effective athlete like Janovich, you would use them.
Okay. All right.
And this guy's every bit as athletic as Janovich was. Yeah. He's faster than Janovich. Mm-hmm. So some other notable portal news, though, around the Big Ten. Deacon Hill, the Iowa quarterback, went into the portal. And I'm not necessarily too surprised by that one.
Nope.
But Brendan Sullivan, the projected starter at Northwestern, entered the portal. So big blow to David Braun to lose a quarterback this late in the game, because – a school like Northwestern, to rebound and find a new quarterback, it won't be easy.
Unless they – is there somebody on campus? That's what you wonder. Sullivan could go start at a lot of – I'm going to say a lot of Power 5 schools.
I mean, he won a bowl game for him, right?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Beat Utah.
He's pretty good. He's a good player. Nebraska didn't see him. He was hurt, fortunately for Nebraska.
Yeah, he started 4 games, went 2-2, threw for 265 yards and 2 touchdowns against Maryland, and then was battling back and forth with that Ryan Helinski guy in 2022 and then Ben Bryant last year in 2023. So, just looking at the reaction from the Northwestern side of it, this was a pretty stunning thing for them.
Really?
Like, I think people around that program were not expecting this whatsoever. He was the projected starter going into this offseason, and so now Northwestern has a big void to fill, it seems like.
All right, another notable one, guys. Dylan Edwards from Colorado goes in the portal. And, you know, this one's familiar to Nebraska fans because he's from nearby Wichita. He had visited Nebraska a couple of times during the Frost era. But then his dad had a connection to Deion Sanders, from back in the day. But he's also connected to Kansas State. His dad played for Kansas State. He leaves Colorado after playing at Colorado a lot, having some big moments as a freshman. I mean, it just makes you wonder what's going on there when a guy that you would assume is like a locked-in key player is leaving Colorado.
Really makes you wonder. He was critical from the jump in that offense. He had a great game against – remember, he had a great game against TCU right out of the gate.
They couldn't cover him.
Right out of the gate. So, yeah, I guess it makes you wonder. In a way, it does, Sean, but in a way, as we know, some of these transfer portal entries just don't make sense. They're just – In that sense, you don't read into him. You know, you're
and
just
Robin
like,
deals with this in basketball,
right?
Yeah,
where if a guy from Nebraska's team, Fred's team, jumps in the portal, you don't automatically say, "Ooh, they must be having problems." Mm-hmm. You got to be careful on that.
And Colorado has a new offensive coordinator. You know, they have Pat Shurmur there now,
and so
maybe his role was going to be a whole lot different than it was a year ago. Yeah. So I mean, there's that aspect to it too. But
sure.
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of
who knows,
projected starters that have left Colorado this offseason. So
you know what you don't see? And you guys, I think we've addressed this, but I wouldn't mind readdressing it. What you see all these guys leave, Rob, Sean, nobody ever talks. Like, can't you just ask a guy why he left?
The transfer portal is big business. And a lot of, and Robin deals with them bad, a lot of guys don't want to say much because there's a lot of money involved. There's a lot of things going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And I'd say we have about as much success as anybody getting some of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
We're lucky to, we track them down sometimes and get them, but it's hard.
Yeah. Like that the guard that transferred from Utah, Raleigh Wooster.
Why? Silent R.
Yeah. I mean, I just like to kind of know why.
Well,
but he hasn't talked.
No. Well, he has.
Money. Oh, he has?
Yeah. I mean, and a lot of it, so he grew up a Nebraska fan, Nebraska football.
Oh, he has.
So, like, he's got a lot of connections
to
the state. And then, you know, the opportunity to play in the Big Ten. I mean, with the Pac-12 being what it is now.
Well, Utah's going to be in the Big
12. Yeah, Big 12. I mean,
which is going to be a better league.
Wait a second.
Yeah, I guess. But
yeah, the Big 12 is a great basketball.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's going to be the best league in the country next year. With Arizona added to that league.
But whatever.
But it's the Big 10.
Yeah. I got you.
So
he's talked. But a lot of them, they leave and then that's it. They're just gone, you know? And you don't really know why.
Edwards reminds me of like a Wandale Robinson style player. Like, he's not as good as Wandale because Wandale led
this. It's a good example.
Like that. His skill set was real similar to Wandale.
Oh, it was. Speed, could catch the ball out of the backfield, could get you kind of tough yards for as little as he is.
Like Nebraska, if he was interested, Nebraska would take him.
Oh.
A lot of people would. But I don't know. This move by him strikes me as they already know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they just flew in there blind.
I wouldn't think so. God, yeah, Nebraska. I would think Nebraska would take him in a second.
Oh, heck yeah. I mean,
speed.
Like, he is a guy in space that can create. We saw it. I mean, Colorado didn't have much blocking, and he made plays.
Yep.
So, all right, when we come back, we'll continue our spring football discussion. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to the Husker Online Show, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washett, getting you ready for Saturday's red-white spring game as we continue the discussion. But before we get to that, this segment of the Husker Online Show brought to you by Mando, back on the show again. And if you're not familiar with Mando, they offer so many great products to help you smell better. Take a couple hints here, right, Steve Sipple?
Oh, that's good, Sean. Why do you say it to Rob?
Rob?
Yeah.
Why'd you single me out?
But lots of deodorants, facial washes, tons of great products, 100% natural, organic, fragrance, oil-free, dermatologist recommended. It's high-end stuff. I've been using some of their products here over the last few months and really impressed with the quality and what you get from Mando. And we've got a great special. If you've never tried Mando, for our Husker Online listeners and viewers here, they're going to get you Mando Starter Pack. It's perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid deodorant stick, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like the body wash or the deodorant wipes, and free shipping. And we've got a discount code. A new customer will get $5 off a starter pack with its exclusive code by simply using Husker. It equates to 40% off your starter pack. Use promo code Husker at shopmando.com. Thanks again to Mando for sponsoring us here on the Husker Online Show. Okay, guys, let's get into some of the things that are happening in college football, too, as we get ready for the spring game. Helmet communication, and we kind of knew this was coming. Thank you, Connor Stallions from Michigan, the sign thief that kind of really got the ball rolling, in my opinion, on this. But quarterbacks will be linked into a headset, and we'll kind of get a live view of this in the spring game with all the Nebraska quarterbacks. And when the play clock hits 40, they'll have all the way up until it hits 15 before the helmet cuts off.
Yeah, so they do it in high school. They do it in the NFL. So this college was behind, and now they're caught up. And Matt Rhule is a gigantic proponent of it. It's interesting that 15-second element, Sean. You could feasibly have a snap the ball pretty quickly and have an offensive coordinator telling the quarterback what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or you could have
or
him say,
does it cut off?
Watch out behind. From behind.
Does it cut off when the ball snapped?
No, I don't think so.
It will stay on.
Yeah. So you might, I don't
know. Or you can talk them through their identifications.
Yeah, you could. But the bot, that's not what it's for.
And say, look, safety high.
Yeah.
Corner right. I mean, you can point out things.
That's what it's for.
To tell them ahead of time. And Matt Rhule brought up a great point. What the LA Rams did, Robin,
mm-hmm.
which is
their quarterback.
Yeah, they get to the line and then like rush right up to the line, and then all of a sudden the play is coming in while the team sets, so the defense can't substitute. And so to counter that, defenses would come out in one look, and then once it hit the 15-second mark, they would immediately shift to a different. So it's a little bit of cat and mouse gamesmanship there that we're going to start seeing at the college level now. Because one thing that Matt Rhule says is he expects offenses to go even faster now. And a lot of that is just going to be getting to the line faster. So you can utilize that communication to kind of orchestrate on the field as opposed to having to huddle up or look at the sideline to get, random, picture cards or whatever to really into the quarterback. I mean, I think that ability to do things directly at the line of scrimmage now is going to be easier than ever.
Could you mess, though, with a guy's psyche a little bit? I mean, as a coach, maybe your emotions, if a guy makes some mistakes, what are you doing?
You got to be careful as a coach.
I think you have to keep your emotions in check because, your quarterback's live on the battlefield there, and you can't just throw him off by making him overthink. There's some things about it I'll be interested to watch play out.
Yeah, I think if you went into a press box, you'd be amazed how non-emotional it is. And I think that's what it will be like for that quarterback talking to a coach. They are I've heard it. I mean, it's nothing. There's hardly any emotion a lot of the time. And you don't hear a lot. So, yeah, but that's an interesting point. You don't want your quarterback rattled because your coach is losing his mind, mm-hmm. Can't lose your mind.
And then the defense will have one helmet too.
Middle linebacker probably.
Probably, yeah. And they tried to get three, but it only got past to have one helmet on defense. And Matt Rhule brought up a great point. You can't really – there's not enough time for the defense to listen to the call on the helmet and then react. Like all the players will still have to look on the sidelines for hand signals.
Yeah, and then they're going to have tablets on the
video.
With video.
Mm-hmm.
Which Rhule said on the defensive side was virtually no help, right? Isn't that what he said?
I think he was talking more of the communication.
Oh, was he talking about the
communication? Like the on-field, because there's so little time to be able to orchestrate all that.
Okay, I misheard that. So they're going to have tablets, mm-hmm. which is going to be new for fans because you're going to see it. You're going to see all these guys with their heads buried in a tablet. I wonder how effective
that will
be. I
wonder if that will be sponsored, like the NFL. Will they do
they have
like
the Microsoft,
Will they use Surface Pros or iPads?
Who knows? I know that Rhule had an interesting point, was that, everybody else in the stadium, everybody watching at home can see a replay and know exactly what happened on a play. And all he does is maybe get a few seconds looking at the Jumbotron before he's moving on to the next call. And mm-hmm. so a lot of times he's getting asked about stuff after games.
Yeah.
He has no idea. He didn't see it. He hadn't had time to watch films yet. Now he's got a tablet right there that's going to show him exactly what happened. So, I mean, that ability to see what everyone else in the world is able to see
five
during
times.
A game.
Yeah. We see it five times.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder how much that's going to just improve in-game coaching from staffs across the game. Yeah.
I always loved when there was like a bad call and the ref missed it, and then the coach would just point up to the Husker vision and be like, look at it right there, ref.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
look
and they've made it clear you cannot take the tablet and show it to a ref.
Right.
Like, that's a penalty. So,
state high school football, they did bring in replay, but, before it had replay, there'd be some blown calls. And, they use a college replay system in the state finals now. Kevin Maher runs that for them most of the years. And, you'd see a high school coach tell the high school crew, like, look at the call you just missed. It's on the big screen.
Good God.
And referees don't like to hear
no,
that.
No, of course you wouldn't. It shows them up. I mean, it's tough. It's a tough job. They're trying to make those decisions on the fly. They don't have the benefit of replay. Oh, my God. It's such a – it's hard. A lot of missed calls, too.
And then this new coaching rule is going to go – I mean, it's not in effect yet, but some
this
more –
this new coaching rule.
To have unlimited on-field paid coaches. Now, right now, you can only have a head coach and 10 assistants, and graduate assistants could be on the field. New rule will have 10 coaches, head coach, and unlimited – helpers
on the field,
coaching paid
actively,
and it was happening anyway, but it was just kind of a lot of red tape around how it was happening. And I'm more interested to see, like, some of the other parameters came out, like you can't hire coaches that like live in different cities. Like you can have recruiting coaches essentially if you wanted to that are scouts in Miami and Dallas that never come to Lincoln. That's not going to be allowed. You can't have outside consultants be like coaches. You know, like if Patrick Mahomes is quarterback coach, you wanted to bring him in to provide instruction for practices here and there, that would not be allowed.
Hmm.
So yeah, they have to be full-time in the office guys to recruit or be on the field. And you can't just be a recruiting guy only. Like you have to be on the field to be able to recruit.
Interesting. It's just what comes to mind is who's enforcing this. The NCAA is without a lot of teeth right now. It's got to be enforced. I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Like Abdel Massa, he was always interesting to me in basketball, different sport, but he didn't really have much involvement instruction-wise on the court.
No, zero. Not at all. I mean, sometimes he would hardly even be at practice.
Didn't he miss a couple games even?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what he was there for. He was there to get dudes.
He was a recruiter.
Yep.
So they don't, that's.
You can't do that in football. Like you can't have, I mean, but look, guys already have their people they know on the road. Like, you know, I'll use trainers. They know, coaches know trainers in different cities.
Sure. Sure. But this makes sense. It just, can it be enforced? I mean, there's enforcement on campus. Schools can enforce, can monitor themselves, and that's what a lot of it comes down.
I'll be more interested, like, who you make your 10 coaches that go out are.
Go out on a road recruit.
Yeah, because that's where you can really give the older coaches a break and take them off the road.
Yes.
And then you replace, like, your four or five oldest coaches may not have to go out as much anymore. And then you can replace them with four or five younger, hungrier guys. And then everything still happens on campus and recruiting anyway.
There's still old, hungry guys, though, right?
There is, but I'm
you're looking at one.
But the demands of recruiting now are so much different. And with NIL, recruiting's different anyway.
Yeah. Sure. Way different, actually. Wow, these discussions are fascinating.
Like
to me.
The days of.
Yeah, we're talking like it's 1990 when, I mean, recruiters. Can I say this? Recruiters. Like, when we say that, it's sort of diminished now. Like, when you say Coach X is a great recruiter.
What does that even mean? Has the best cares? NIL support?
Yeah.
Right. Sends the best Twitter DMs?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's way different, though.
The phrase winning in the living room doesn't even matter anymore.
No. Living room?
There's not even going to be in-home visits.
Right.
That impact recruiting. If there's in-home visits now, they'll be after signing day.
Yeah, we literally have to catch ourselves sometimes because you live like 5 years ago when there were recruiters that mattered. There was a on-three recruiter of the year. Yeah, what the hell does it matter now? I mean, it's just whoever offers the most money.
Yeah, I remember the in-home visits were so big at one point. You know, like I remember Jordan Westerkamp on the same night, Catholic kid from Chicago, hosted Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Then Nebraska went in.
Yeah.
And Nebraska won the living room, and they got Jordan Westerkamp.
Yeah.
They beat Notre Dame, where his mom initially wanted him to go.
Incredible, incredible living room stories, like Bo Pelini finding his way to Yoshi Hardrick's
trailer.
Yeah, trailer on a mud road in Mississippi. I mean, it's like they're incredible stories that will go away now. Go away. Gone.
And a lot of kids and families, they don't necessarily – I don't know if they want – to entertain coaches at their house. That's just the world we live. You know, there's people that don't even talk to their neighbors anymore.
Right.
You know, like you could live by people and may not even know them.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's just
different in general. And in-home visits the same way. I don't know if there's a huge demand to have, like, all these coaches come to your house like it used to be.
Doesn't seem like it.
I do think that there is still part of the relationship dynamic with recruiting. It's just not nearly what it used to be. I mean, you can't completely like be turned off by a staff and the way they coach and how they do things. And just because they write you a big check, you're going to go there. Like, I think you have to at least like the coach, like the way that their systems and how they're going to use you. So, I mean, there's still some of the traditional aspects, but when it comes down to choosing team A or team B, the size of the bag usually wins.
This is what's replaced the in-home. FaceTime calls.
Okay.
Every call that coaches make with kids, the FaceTime call is the new handwritten letter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because it's personalized.
Yeah.
You have their face on your phone talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so FaceTime calls and recruiting have been so big. You know, if you're a priority guy, all your calls with Nebraska are going to be FaceTimed.
I love it. So, and that's Rule doing that?
Are the assistants.
Or the assistants.
Yeah. I mean, Rule will do, like, the whole staff will be in the room sometimes. And if it's a guy that they really want, they'll all, like, jump in on the FaceTime and wave and talk. And, I mean, that's
the in-home.
That's kind of what the in-home's become.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, I think it goes back to not every player is just out there chasing the biggest payday.
No.
I think that's certainly a significant, maybe the most significant element now compared to what it used to be. But, you got to trust the coach. The parents have to be able to trust the coach, especially if you're sending your kid halfway across the country. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I think there's that personal relationship that's still there to an extent.
All right, when we come back, we'll take your questions in the mailbag as Abby Barmore will add some sanity back to the show. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, C. Sipple, Robin Washett, Abby Barmore joining us here on the show as well as we take your questions in the mailbag. But before we get to that, this segment of the Husker Online Show brought to you by Bauer Infrastructure. They're helping Nebraska shape its infrastructure future, and they're looking for new members to join the team. They have open positions for laborers, equipment operators, aerial linemen, and foremen. Bauer Underground is searching for the best in construction. Visit BauerUnderground.com to learn more about career opportunities and industry-leading benefits, including competitive pay, employer-paid health insurance, dental, disability, vision, and life insurance, 401k match, new top-of-the-line equipment, and a clothing allowance. No experience in underground utility construction? No problem. Bauer will train the right people in the field, giving you the hands-on experience you need to build a long and rewarding career. Want to learn more? Visit Bauer Underground on Facebook to view the testimonials from the current Bauer teammates. Hear about their experiences, the company culture, the importance of their work. Bauer Underground is family-owned with crews and work sites across Nebraska. So wherever you live, Bauer has the opportunity for you. For more information, like Bauer Underground on Facebook or visit BauerUnderground.com. Come start your new career today. Thank you again to Bauer Underground for sponsoring us here on the Husker Online Show. Okay, Abby, let's get into the mailbag. Where are we starting off at today?
Okay. What are a few aspects that you're going to be watching really closely in the spring game?
Quarterback play and just what it looks like, how it comes out, the footwork, the timing. I mean, that's where you got to start, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Overall operation of the offense.
Okay.
Where just fielding snaps, handing off correctly, getting plays in, you know, procedural penalties.
Yep.
You know, those things that, like you said earlier, we probably improperly dismissed out of that spring game, but those were telltale signs of issues that were going to drag on all year long. So how much have they cleaned up just the function of the offense?
Those are good ones. I'm going to add, those are good. Thank you.
Thanks.
Those, what I'm going to add is something, do not do this.
Okay.
I'm talking to you, I'm talking to young journalists, I'm talking to fans. I've tried to do this a couple times, doesn't work at all. I'm going to go watch the offensive line and see how that looks. Just don't even try. You can't do it. I mean, it's hard to, like, if you it sounds good, like, as I'm talking right now, I'm not going to go watch to see if they, how much they move people. You can't.
It's without like it. The true game film right. angles.
Thank you, Sean.
Like I always feel like that's just kind of like phony baloney BS.
Phony baloney.
People are like, I'm going to zone it on the old line.
Yeah,
like,
good luck.
Come sit up there and see how that goes.
Good dude. Luck. I've tried it.
Especially when the starters are going to play like 1-2 series. That's you know, thing. Like especially on defense.
Yeah, and
like,
they're moving guys in and out. It just, I'm just telling you, it makes no sense.
Like you have to watch every play like yeah. 5 times.
Yeah.
If not more to really yeah. zone on the
old line. The one now I can hear a guy in his living room right now saying, now, wait a second. You can see if they're moving the line of scrimmage. Kind of. I mean, yeah. So, and, you know, and it's a case usually, especially in the last 20 years, where sometimes they're moving the line of scrimmage and sometimes they're not. And so it's not very interesting that way. So, no, don't do that. What I'll be looking – I mean, shouldn't we say something on defense? I mean, you're kind of looking for what's coming off the edge. What kind of mm-hmm. how are they getting to the quarterback? No sacks, so it's hard. It's kind of challenging.
But you can, but, I mean, they'll whistle sacks. They'll whistle plays down.
And you can see movement.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see athleticism coming off the edge. Cam Lenhart, Prince Will, those guys.
Boundary play with those corners too.
Tackling. Physicality.
Open field tackling. Flying to the ball.
Yeah.
Explosive plays of 20 yards or more.
Yeah. There's thank God for Rhule. I'm saying this based on what he did last year. I'm hoping he does it this year. It was football last year. It was football. We watched football. And I hope he does that again this year. I think he will.
Okay. What about the special teams? What are you going to be looking for there?
I would imagine the field goal kicking.
Yeah.
They're going to give Albano some opportunities, and I think he's had a good spring. I wrote a prediction this couple weeks ago. I think he'll have over 20 field goals this year, Albano. Mm.
Yeah, I can't imagine they'll do anything in the return game. They didn't last
punt
year.
Punt returns?
Yeah. I mean, like, and if it is, it's going to be the weird controlled thing. So I don't look for much in that. So, yeah, I mean, place kicking is probably their only real evaluation, and maybe just how the ball looks off Buscini's foot, that well, type of thing.
What about long snapper?
Yeah. Well, Camden Watucky is who we're talking
about.
That's
a good one, Sean.
Yeah, Camden Watucky is he's apparently the guy. So we're going to have to see what that looks like.
Well,
yeah.
If we don't say his name at all, that's a good thing.
Long snapping, it's really hard for anyone to evaluate because it's about the time. And really good teams will stopwatch your snaps. Mm-hmm. And if you're not where they need to be, they will block your kicks.
Yeah, they had a premier long snapper last year, Ortiz.
We said his name never.
He was good. God, I remember. You know what I remember? When we'd be up there in the press box, you know, long before game time, and the first few guys trickled out, that Ortiz would come out there, and you'd be like, man, that's a good-looking player. Who is that? Long snapper.
It's a long snapper.
Man, he's got to play in the NFL.
He'll probably get a shot.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, next question.
Okay, who do you think is going to be starting a running back the spring game and then the first game of the season?
Well, you know who's starting the spring
Emmett
game.
Johnson.
Yeah. Emmett Johnson, spring game.
I still think somehow Gabe Irvin Jr. comes out of it. I don't know.
In the fall, I mean, right?
In the fall.
In the fall. You've been very consistent in that. It's a hard read. I mean, today you heard, well, Tuesday you heard E.J. Barthel speak glowingly of Ramir Johnson. I mean, God, the way he talked about Ramir Johnson, you think, ooh. I mean, he said things like, I don't know why he wasn't on the field.
Rhule said the same thing.
Why he wasn't on the field more before we got here. Mm-hmm. You just wonder, could he be an every down type back? I think maybe he could. I've always liked the way he runs with abandon. Mm-hmm. He's little. He weighs 185. He's 5'10", 185. Maybe he's bigger than that now. That's what they list him at. I checked today, 185. But he runs hard. I mean, yeah. He does not, you know, we've had running backs at Nebraska that kind of pitter-patter up to the line of scrimmage when they're asked to run between the tackles. Bell, the kid that transferred, pitter-patter. This guy tears into the line.
Think about how good that Michigan team was back in 2021.
Michigan, yeah.
And the plays he made on that defense that featured like Aiden Hutchinson.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He was big that game. He caught that – I'm going to call it a wheel route. He caught a ball out of the backfield over his shoulder, which is an incredible catch. I don't know. Was that a wheel route, Sean?
I mean, Nebraska – that was the team that won remember? The big
– I can't remember.
Yeah, it was a wheel route.
Was it a wheel route?
But – I mean, Frost was on that day, and they ran some good plays.
Frost was on.
I mean, they were – Michigan had better players than Nebraska, and they figured out ways to still score on them.
Oh, they had an incredible game plan, Nebraska, in that game.
And they should have beat them. I mean
– Should have.
Aiden Hutchinson tag. I mean, it was forward progress, and they let that play go. But Martinez kept his legs moving and should have just given up. He got the first down on 3rd and 5, ran for it or whatever it was, and he tried to keep running and then fumbled the ball. And
somebody took it out of his hand.
Aiden Hutchinson.
Hutchinson.
Hit his leg, and then the ball popped out.
Was it Hutchinson that took it out, Rob?
He hit him.
He hit him.
Oh, he hit him.
He jarred him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just one of those plays. It was like that punt at Michigan State that missed its mark by 30 yards. I just stood there with my mouth agape when that ball got taken out of Adrian's hand. I couldn't even believe what I was seeing.
I just pictured, like, Jim Harbaugh grabbing Aiden Hutchinson by the face, like Sensei Kreese in Karate Kid, and saying, sweep the leg.
Sweep the leg.
Do you have a problem with that, Mr. Hutchinson? And he just comes in and just freaking swept Martinez's leg out, and the ball was out.
Wow. That was interesting.
Went down a Karate Kid rabbit hole there.
Yeah, that's a very specific reference.
Yeah.
You've never seen Karate
Kid? I've never seen Karate Kid, any parts of it. Never.
And you're supposed to be the 80s guy at this table.
Yeah. 70s more, though, Sean, quite honestly. More 70s.
Karate Kid was like a legendary 80s movie.
Was it?
Now, we got some good July content here now. Let's get on to the next question in the middle.
July content.
Wait, final question. Sorry, okay. Final question.
Last one. Which player has impressed you the most in a spring game? I know it's hard to tell sometimes, but who's really stood out?
I'll throw one out, and we're dating ourselves here. It's over 20 years ago now, but back in the 03 spring game, a walk-on linebacker by the name of Stuart Bradley. Ooh.
Just was, crunching people.
Was not even with the ones and twos. Like back in those spring games, it was ones on ones, twos on twos. He came in the game when it was the threes on threes. But you noticed him.
He had a hit at the goal line. That it was an amazing goal line hit. Hmm. Like he blew up.
And that
up
was
a
Pelini's
guy.
First year.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Stu Bradley really made his money under the Callahan-Cosgrove era.
He was good. Big, rangy linebacker.
I forgot he was a walk-on.
Yeah. Oof, strangely good.
Stu will tell you, and I've talked to him about this over the years before, he was a walk-on, but it was kind of one of those like promissory deals where come in and then we'll give you a scholarship like the second year. So he came here knowing he was going to get a scholarship more or less. But you're right. I mean, he was a walk-on.
Zach Taylor's spring game when he came in and threw for like 350 some yards.
So the 06 spring game.
Yeah, that one jumps out. But here's one. We're talking about going way back. Sip, you will remember this one. How about 1995 when Riley Washington caught 4 passes for 103 yards, 3 of which were touchdowns?
Yeah, I do remember.
What about 98 when Bobby Newcomb took the opening play for like a 80-yard touchdown?
Exciting. Exciting. Those were exciting moments. They had a running back named Butler
Butler.
Chris Butler.
Transferred to Auburn.
Transferred to Auburn soon afterwards.
Started to Auburn.
Did he start at Auburn?
Yeah, think about where Nebraska football was, that there's scraps left here and would go start at Auburn. Yeah.
Butler was a scrap. He was a scrap. I mean, he had a good spring game, though, and he looked like a Nebraska running back. He was a tough inside runner. That with some speed. Once he got in the open field, he'd run away from people. I remember it distinctly. I got caught off guard by him. It was, think about back then, transferring was like, it was like, really?
Well, it took an
the
act
guy's
of
transferring.
It took an act of Congress to like get a release to a school back then.
Yeah, and I don't even know how I found out about it.
But. Remember like coaches had to grant you permission to transfer a school?
Yeah. Act of Congress.
Remember when Bo Ryan like handpicked the schools that his guy could transfer to?
Did he?
Like imagine that.
Yeah.
That's wasn't that
was
long ago.
Football. Like, so you would pick you could not transfer to a school in the conference or the Power 5 teams on your schedule for non-conference.
Boy, life has changed.
Now you can literally.
Pretty soon you're going to be seeing guys transfer within season. It's funny when you read reports now, like you see reporters saying, players still can't transfer within the season. Like, yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because, like, what would happen if Georgia or Alabama sustained a major injury? Yep. Their NIL would get in touch with somebody connected to a top player and say, we have a starting running back job for you at Georgia, and we're going to give you over $1 million.
Yeah. Let's not
talk about that. And that would happen.
Let's not talk about
that. That would happen.
Mm. Yeah.
And there would be people that would do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, way. Yeah.
Ooh, let's talk about something.
All right.
Else.
Well, when we come back, lots of news on the basketball front, and Robin will get us up to date on that next. You're listening to the Husker Line Show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
Final segment here of the Husker Online show. Before we get to some basketball talk and transfer portal news there, this segment, Steve Sipple of the Husker Online show, is brought to you by who?
Sean, Larson Motors. It looks like we're saving the best ad for last here today. If you're looking for a new vehicle, go for a new experience at Larson Motors in Nebraska City. Larson Motors in Nebraska City is one of the Midwest's only dealerships with all the major brands in one location. I say it every week. Finding your new Chevrolet, GMC, Hummer, Ford, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Ram never has been easier. Start your new experience today at LarsonMotorGroup.com. Go get a car. Go to Larson Motors in Nebraska City. I say it every week, Sean. Larson Motors, real people.
Real deals.
Good job, Sean.
And Sipple is eyeing those light-duty trucks.
I am eyeing a light-duty truck.
You're going to go down to Nebraska City.
It's time. Spring game Saturday, some opening in May. No reason why I can't go to Nebraska City, right up Highway 2, and visit the guys.
Take your Harley down there.
Could. Not a bad idea. Highway 2 is not perfect for riding a Harley because people come out, they turn into you. I like the interstate where there's nobody turning into
you. Oh, and you're north to south.
Yeah.
You get the winds one way or the other. But yeah. All right.
There's some good Harley talk.
Let's talk ball.
I like the interstate Harley. That's what I like.
Robin, Nebraska's added 4 transfers, correct?
Correct.
Andrew Morgan from North Dakota State was the first one. Gavin Griffins from Rutgers joined on board. And then point guard Raleigh Wooster from Utah. And then their most recent addition out of Wisconsin, Connor Asegan?
Asegan.
Wow, you butchered a couple of those, Sean.
I went full Sipple on the whole.
You did. Get it going.
But 4 new additions, Robin, and 3 more to go.
3 more open scholarships. Now, it remains to be seen if they'll actually fill all 3. I don't see the value of it anymore.
What?
I mean, because they're just extra guys you have to babysit, and then they're just not going to play and pay.
Wait a second.
Who keeps 13 players happy in college basketball anymore? It just doesn't happen. So, you're looking at, 10 guys. Is what you really want with a couple of flyers, and they already kind of have that with the high school kids they have coming in. So I think you add for sure another big, at least one more big, okay. a rebounding, rim protecting, muscle athletic Texas A&M type big if you can get them. Now everybody wants those, but I think that's priority number one right now. They added their shooters with Griffiths and Asegian. They have their point guard along with Aaron Euless and Raleigh Wooster. They have their rink mass type big in Andrew Morgan. So, I mean, they've got a pretty good nucleus now in place. The one void that you look at that roster, it's that big-bodied, athletic four-man, power forward, a true power forward that can go protect the rim and get your rebounds to finish possessions. So, names, the one that immediately jumps to mind is William Kyle III from South Dakota State. He is still, as far as taping on Tuesday at 2:40 p.m., expected to visit Nebraska for an official visit this weekend for the spring game. Now some variables have been added to that dynamic. He just took an unexpected visit to UCLA on Monday. They came out of nowhere. And usually when a team like UCLA comes out of nowhere, they're planning on making a move very quickly. So nothing has come out of that yet. As far as I know, Kyle is still supposed to be in Lincoln. And if he does, that would be his second visit this month. And then he also met with Nebraska's staff last Monday. Okay. Just not a visit, but just a brief meeting to kind of check in. So pretty heavy contact there. That's kept up. And Nebraska seems to be in a good spot, but they just got to get through this week, get him on campus, and try to finish the deal.
And Robin, Frankie Fiddler goes to Michigan State.
yeah, not a surprise. I'd been kind of headed that way for a while. Nebraska kind of fell out of that a few weeks ago. I don't know. I think a lot of it was they didn't really have a role for him, and then Wilcher left, and then suddenly that role opened up. And for whatever reason, it never really got off the ground. They got Gavin Griffiths, who fits that bill. So it was kind of one of those deals where the just timing never matched up really with it. So he goes to Michigan State. I'd be very curious to see what his role is there and how much he factors in. He is the first transfer portal addition Tom Izzo has had since 2001, which was Tyson Walker. So he's in rare territory of being a Michigan State transfer portal add. 2001? Izzo hates the portal. 2021.
2021.
I do that all the time.
Tyson Walker.
Tyson Walker.
Okay, then what about Chucky Hepburn?
I don't know. He's not coming to Nebraska. He's probably going to go to Louisville is the last I heard. Who knows with things. He's
very definitive in this, not coming to Nebraska.
No.
They have not visited him or had a meeting with him or anything.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. So cross that one off the board.
How would you like to be Wisconsin, though? I feel like they've just been...
They've lost 8 players from last year's roster via graduation and transfer portal, and they have not made a single addition yet.
Good players, though. Not
starters.
Like, Nebraska lost players, but nobody,
They lost 2 all-conference players.
A.J. Storr was...
And a former All-Big Ten freshman player in Connor Asesian.
Oh, boy. They lose Asesian, A.J. Storr... Chucky. And Chucky, those are 3 major ones.
And what was it, Tyler Wall?
Yeah, and they lost a Big Ten Freshman of the Year, former. They've been decimated.
Yeah, so they're in trouble.
Yep.
They got some work to do.
And it kind of exposes your NIL a little bit.
I think it does.
Well, look at Minnesota. I mean, Minnesota's just getting pilfered right now. And with Elijah Hawkins, the point guard, who kind of changed the entire dynamic of their team.
What about him?
When the season ended, he reaffirmed his commitment. I'm staying at Minnesota. Then he hits the portal. And then he comes back, says, I'm not transferring. I'm coming back to Minnesota. Then he hits the portal again. So it's like kind of one of those deals where a team like that just does not have NIL. Nebraska's in a significantly better spot from what I've heard than what Minnesota is. And Minnesota just, I think, used up a lot of their resources on Dawson Garcia. So they kind of had to choose, who are we going to pay? So they went with Garcia, and now... Ola Joseph's gone. Pharrell Payne's gone. Elijah Hawkins gone. Those are 3 starters. 3 good level players.
Oh, my God. That's the core of it.
That just immediately bolts.
Greg Gard and the coach, Ben Johnson. They just have to be swimming in it.
It's tough.
You can't answer this question. I'm going to ask it anyway. You can't. Who? I don't know who can. Why is Wisconsin and Minnesota not set up with an NIL operation that's good?
I think Minnesota is just kind of that situation where they're in a pro town. They're an afterthought, especially Minnesota basketball. They get good fan support, and they have great tradition there. There's no reason that team shouldn't win, but I think they are just getting left behind now in this new era where, are your fan base and your alumni going to take care of you? They just don't have it right now.
In what we do in these fan sites with Husker Online and On3, you can kind of measure it. In those markets, Minnesota does not have a major site like Husker Online. They have smaller sites.
Yeah.
So that tells you about their fan base.
Yes, it does.
They're not as engaged to draw thousands and thousands of subscribers to follow their team. Wisconsin's the same way. They don't have a major heavyweight fan community site. So I look at that like A&M does, Kentucky does, Texas. And that tells you about your fan base and the engagement and the investment your fans have in their program. Where in those places, Minnesota and Wisconsin, have never really been big markets.
And I can tell you, that's why PJ Fleck trying to get out of there.
Oh, yeah.
I don't mind saying
it. It's a losing battle.
He's trying to get out of there.
But he keeps getting raises in the process.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Get what you can, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
But, to be able to compete, if Ohio State's really working with $26 million for their football program, how's Minnesota even going to compete? They're playing a different game. They're in different leagues.
Yeah,
they're trying to compete in the conference.
Your station, The Ticket, the afternoon guys, and he talked about they need to be in the top 3, and I think they're close to that. I believe
top 3 of what?
NIL in the conference.
In the conference.
And look, Ohio State and Oregon, to me, from what I know, are clear 1 and 2.
Paying about what on their roster?
20 plus.
Is Nebraska in that realm?
No.
I think Nebraska's over 10, if I had to guess.
Which is really good.
I think Nebraska football, and I know that's where they're in that closer to that range. I know Doug Ewalt had a number he shared that was lower. That was not accurate. I know that.
He shared a number that was in the six to eight
range, and they're over 10.
Okay.
If I had to guess. For football. And I would put Nebraska around third in the conference. I don't know like if Penn State or Michigan would be much higher than that.
And basketball's around 2.5 to 3 million.
Which is what they're paying their current roster.
That's for basketball.
What do you think Crade's at?
I couldn't tell you. It's probably, yeah.
At least a million more.
They don't have anybody else to pay for, so it's all basketball.
2.5 to 2.6 is what Fred's working with.
Around there, yeah.
Yeah, divide that by 10, though. That's a lot of money.
I know. That's good.
That's what I mean, like, that's the difference. Like, your money pool for basketball is going to be substantially lower than it is for football just because there's less guys.
For sure.
Wow, we're getting in the weeds here.
Long story short,
this weekend, William Kyle is kind of the only known visitor. We got to make sure that that happens. You know, like I said, Wake Forest is heavily involved. UCLA is now the new team to watch there. But if they can make it through the week, get them on campus, I like Nebraska's chances.
All right. Well, guys, one announcement to make. We will have a post-game live show.
Whoa.
Let's go.
After the spring game. Don't know if we'll have the Steve Sipple margaritas.
Oh,
I'm sure if I posted it out there, we'd have some volunteers.
Some little mid-after day drinking.
Darty, or what do they call it?
Yeah,
it's mid-afternoon.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah,
it's
brunch. The game will be over by 1. I'm guessing, are we going to shoot for like a 4 or 5 o'clock show?
Sure.
We'll figure this out, but
4 or 5 o'clock
range is probably when we're going to start Husker Line post-game live following the Red-White spring game.
Okay, grand.
I'm ready. It's been too long.
So yes. Let's, since the Trev Alberts post-game.
I know, and you missed that one.
I was in Hawaii.
You were sunbathing on a Hawaiian beach.
I was watching you guys in Hawaii by my pool. I'm like talking to my wife. I go, God, this is crazy. You guys had like, it peaked out at like 1,500 watching.
It was
wild. It might have been 1,700.
Great day.
It was a great big show.
Great day.
Ooh, that was Freudian. Let's move on.
I'll never forget that day. All right. Well, so join us post-game show live Saturday after the Red White spring game for Abby Barmore, Steve Sipple, Robin Washington. I'm Sean Callahan.
Thanks again for joining us this week on Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.